That's the goal for me, is for every single kid that graduates and walks our stage, for us to have equipped them with tools to go be successful, whether that's the college path, the CTE path, to go have a successful life.
Welcome to this episode of Abre Insights. I'm here with David Ritchie, superintendent of La Mesa.
A lot of people call it La Mesa.
La Mesa.
I call it La Mesa, and nobody's ever told me I'm wrong, so that's what I call it.
All right. That's awesome. Cool. We're going to chit-chat a bit, but let me kick off by just saying, hey, who are you? Give me a little background.
Lifelong educator. My father was a head coach, athletic director. My mom, a teacher. I wanted to follow in my father's footsteps, got to play for my dad, wanted to follow in those footsteps. And so I embarked in 1997 on that journey. I learned quickly, everybody follows a different path.
Yeah.
I did end up reaching the athletic director, head football coach point in 2008. Started at a little town called Rotan, which you probably have not heard of. We were the Yellow Hammers, but we were orange. Didn't know what a Yellow Hammer was till we scored our first touchdown, and I realized we got a woodpecker that's pecking the flagpole.
Okay.
So that's what we are.
Yeah.
And for the next decade, I did that. But I have two of my own sons, and, you know, as an athletic director, head football coach, that's 7 days a week
of
spending your time
brutal. With
other people's kids.
Yeah.
And I just felt like I was cheating my own. And so I got out and became an assistant principal of an elementary, and then principal of an elementary, principal of a high school, and gradually became superintendent. I had no intentions of becoming superintendent, but you go the path that is laid before you.
Yeah.
And you just do the best you can, and that's where it's brought me.
Do you like it?
It's different.
It's different.
You were told that it is going to be different than any job, but I've always been that egotistical, naive young person
yeah.
that thought I knew everything. And so I was like, nah, I've been a AD, I've been a head coach. I mean, I taught every level of English and sped. I've got all the certifications. I got this. And I will tell you, after I'm in my third year, and they are dead right.
Yeah.
It is different than any job I've ever had. But I love it. I love kids.
Yeah.
My father's actually in the Texas Football Hall of Fame. Won a lot of games, but that was never his goal. His goal was to make sure the young men that were playing for him had the best chance of success.
Yeah.
The wins came. For me, the wins didn't come to the degree he did, but my job was to treat kids the best I could, hold them accountable, but let them be the best version of themselves. And I tried to do that to this day with my students, with my staff, with my board, with myself, is just to inspire and empower everybody to be the best version of themselves every day.
So I'm curious just to ask you a question here. Again, this is, it's not live, so, you know, if you're like, yeah.
So if I answer it poorly, you can
go to your email, you know. But I am deeply familiar with the stresses and the stress of leadership. And I'm just curious for you, look, athletic director, talk about people coming at you left, right, upways, sideways, and then also superintendent. I'm just curious for you, is it easy? Is it hard? You kind of roll? Is it like, I just find people deal with it differently.
I would not say it's easy. It's as hard as you make it.
Okay.
I look at it, I think, in a simplistic way, but I would not say it's easy. It is extremely stressful, even the way I look at it. I just try, I try to make every decision stand by itself.
Mm-hmm.
And because I've made my share of bad ones.
Yeah.
But I can't let those bad ones lead to another bad one. And I've got to understand that even though I've made good ones, just because I made a good one, it's not going to lead to a string of good ones.
Yeah.
So every conflict, which they come at you nonstop. I mean, my phone, since I've been here today, you handle multiple conflicts every day. And I just try to take a step back, try to pro-con it, and I try to make the best decision I can for my kids and my district. And if you keep doing that, even when you make the bad ones, and I've made some really bad ones, but when I've made them, I own them.
Yeah.
There's been some that I've had to go man-to-man and shake a guy's hand and apologize for some decisions I've made. But once you do that, you can't dwell. You and I were talking about University of Michigan football. I treat it like a DB. A DB will tell you they've got to have no memory at all. They can't remember the last play. And to me, you've got to remember the last play, but it can't dictate what you do on the next play. And that's the style I try to use with the amount of conflicts that I deal with.
Oh, that's good. What are you – what's top of the mind right now? What are the biggest challenges you see right now in education, Texas education, things that are things that are occupying your mental bandwidth?
Well, LaMesa ISD is full of its own challenges, and if this podcast takes off, which I'm sure it will, I have stories that you won't believe. We have a YouTube video that's got over 10,000 views of a board meeting from a few years ago that led to me being superintendent. My sister from Boston would call me and say, "Hey, I got my popcorn. I'm ready for the board meeting." But big picture, I think that everyone in this room would tell you the finances in public education in the state of Texas are where we spend a lot of our bandwidth and stress. I have tried to be very involved in that. I learned as a coach, I was not as involved in the big picture things as I should have been. I've tried to correct that as a superintendent. So I was with some legislators earlier today, and I don't mean that in any other way than I am trying to learn how I can best use this position to make an impact. And I think that we've got to have a voice. I heard, and it really struck me, a legislator today said he was very disappointed in the Texas education community because, you know, there's this big voucher fight.
Yes.
And last biennium, public school finance in a way was held hostage because the vouchers were not passed. Vouchers are coming now, and they're coming because 15 people that supported public education got beat.
Yeah.
And we were told, a room full of superintendents were told this morning, how disappointed they were in us because the education community was not there to fight for them. And we can't expect people to be down here in Austin fighting for us if we're not willing to fight for them. And so that is who I'm trying to discover in myself, is how I can use my small little platform of LaMesa ISD to better help influence the future for everybody.
Yeah. Well said, especially this is the day when we're seeing all kinds of interesting news come on out of funding, how it goes. Yeah. Question on this. So think a little bit about when you do think about budgets, or you think about the money that you have, or, you know, the up in the air aspect of knowing whether or not you have it or not. How do you go about making decisions on where to allocate that?
Well, I have a big note above my door with a star by it. So I remember every day to make sure you're using your resources in the most important aspects of your district, because it's easy to get lost in all of the other stuff. Everybody, and we are guilty of it. You know, I remember when I graduated Sweetwater High School by Abilene in 1992, and we had a good football team. And in the playoffs, it was a big deal for us to go play on turf. And I would not think you can go 10 miles anymore without seeing a turf field and huge gymnasiums.
Yep.
And I am an ex-coach. I'm the son of a coach. And I understand the value of extracurricular involvement on the bigger picture of education. But I will also tell you, as a superintendent, I don't feel like we always spend our resources where it will get the biggest academic bang
for the buck.
And I am trying to, I've told my board when they hired me, I'm a very honest person, and I told them when they hired me, our athletic facilities are I coached at this same place in 2012, and they do not resemble what they did in 2012. So in my opinion, we are good. Now it's time to change our focus so that we can better equip all of our kids intellectually and academically. I always tell people, I don't want the best night of all of our students' lives in LaMesa ISD to be when they walk across that stage and get that. And it has been. And it is a big night.
Yeah.
But it should be a big night that leads to a lot bigger nights.
Yes.
And that's the goal
for
me, is for every single kid that graduates and walks our stage, for us to have equipped them with tools to go be successful, whether that's the college path, the CTE path, to go have a successful life. And so that's where I have really switched our train of thought on our budget, is getting away from some things where it has been and focusing it more in the academic realm.
Cool. So this isn't hopefully not too out of left field, but I'm just curious, like, give me a little underplay on how you all use data in your district.
Well, we're big in the PLCs.
Yep.
You know, and of course, I had the privilege of being a principal before becoming this, and I think that helped me with that boots on the ground view.
Yeah.
You know, so
dive into that. Boots on the ground, meaning
Don't forget where you came from.
Yeah.
It happens too often. And I worked for a lot, in my opinion, of a lot of people that had. And that's why I try to get in classrooms every day. Yeah. Because the second you forget the struggle that your teachers have is the second you become a very ineffective superintendent. Because it is a struggle. Make no mistake. Yes. You said you did it.
Yep.
I tell my board all the time, unless you've taught a day in your life, don't talk to me about teaching. It's a different world. You know, and when I got this job, I decided that our focus needed to be on the foundational CTE. Yes, I have a hand in that, but we are going back to our elementaries and really focusing on our foundational literary skills. Too many of our kids, by the time they get to fourth, fifth, sixth grade, are already so far behind grade level as far as reading goes, they're never going to get caught up. And yeah, you got to be able to know math, but to pass a math test, you better be able to read it. And so foundational reading and then 4 through 8 to math. And again, that does not mean we ignore everything else, but we have really tried to look at where we felt we were killing our kids at a foundational level and setting them, they're behind the eight ball before they ever really get their academic journey started. Mm-hmm. So we take all that data. I spend a lot of time. I have a curriculum director. She's somewhere in this building. A special education director that's somewhere in this building. And we do it as a team alongside our principals, but we try to include our teachers. And we really try to break it down to the kid. And I know this is a long answer, but that's the last thing I would say is we attach data to a kid's name and a kid's picture, because too often you get caught up in the third grade reading scores or the fourth grade reading scores. I want to know about Zach's reading scores.
Yep.
And if I'm a teacher and I am intent to improve Zach's scores and David scores, well, that's going to bleed over. And if I take it down to that low of a level, it's only going to build up the bigger picture.
How much, I love this. Totally agree. I mean, and that was one of the things that when I was a teacher, just like, I wanted to have as much information about my students as possible.
Yes, sir.
And that would just make the, and I wanted to have it kind of at my fingertips. Cause you know how it is. Like, you know, you might be focused over here on kid one and then something will happen over here and you'd be like, oh no, pivot. Got to think about this. I guess my question to you is like, how easy is that for your teachers? Like to have the full picture of kids. Now I get it. Like as a teacher, there's always like, you kind of know kids because you know kids. You're relational.
You have to know the kids.
But like the elements of like, oh, you know, this is the modification I got to do based on this IEP over here, or this is what they just scored on a NWA MAP test, or any, you know, just the different components. I'm just curious. Like,
we are not where I want to be.
Okay.
And it's funny you say that because that's a conversation we literally had on the way up here. We want our second grade teacher to be able to come sit in a meeting with that kid's parents.
Yes.
And talk about the entire academic picture.
Yes.
Of that kid.
Or go next level. Beyond academics, go 100%. Internships or college interest, whatnot, right?
So our goal right now, and this is what we started this year, is, and this sounds so minimalistic, but
gotta start.
We have every kid in our pre-K, kinder, first, second, now starting with a folder that we plan for them to carry with them. They won't carry it with them. It will follow them. So for instance, we are separated. We have a pre-K through 2 campus on one side of town and then our 3 through 5 campus on another side of town. And there's a big disconnect there. And too often a kid, by the time they leave this second grade, they're in tier 2 or tier 3. Well, when I got the superintendent's job, they were getting over to the other side of town to third grade with no record, and it was starting over.
Oof.
And so Zach may have been in tier 3, and all of a sudden he spends the first semester in third grade not getting any help because there was no communication following him from second to third. And we want to correct that. Your expression said it right. It's shocking.
Yeah.
It is a simple thing. And so we have really tried to start putting together a huge portfolio of each kid so that we can pass that along with them. And when you get them, you're not just taking what you heard in the teacher's lounge, right? You're not just hearing, oh, you got Richie. You're going to have a bad year because that kid's going to give you fits. No, you're getting a folder that says, well, Richie may have had a bad year, but it's probably because the kid can't read.
Yeah.
And he's not getting any help. He's extraordinarily frustrated.
And he's got food insecurities at home.
Because he's been
hungry.
Made fun of all the time because of everything that's going on. Yep. And all of a sudden you can help that
kid. Put two and two together and you're like,
get back on track.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Well said. I mean, you're just describing, like, you see a ton of that. And it just fascinates me. Like, I always, part of my brain goes like, you need the full picture.
You do. And we make it harder than it has to be.
Yeah.
Because, and I on the other podcast, I was looking at all these booths. And this is great. This is fantastic. But everybody in this room is trying to sell you something. And if you go buy everything somebody's selling you, well, you're not going to know who you are or where you're going.
Yeah. Yep.
And that's the other thing I did. The very first thing I did in this role, we looked at everything that had been bought by the last administration. And if it did not apply and we think it helped get us where we wanted to go, we cut it. We got rid of it.
Yep.
Because
we're
making it too hard.
Yep. Keep it simple.
Keep it simple, stupid.
Stupid.
That's what they used to say as a coach.
Yep.
Keep it simple. That playbook.
Simple,
if that playbook's this big,
not
I felt
good.
Really good about beating
not
you.
Good.
Our playbook was minimal, but we were really good at it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was the goal. Learn that from my dad.
Yeah.
Oh, he would say I didn't learn it quick enough. But I did learn it
but
from my father.
It.
Yes, sir.
Love that. All right, so I kind of want to wrap up here with two questions for you. First is, look, but did you say 28 years?
28 years.
28 years. Look, education, it's a passion. And you go into it. I guess what I want to ask you is, do you have a story? Do you have something particular, a memory that sticks out to you that really made it worthwhile? That made it, like, and you probably have many, but I'm just here, like an actual one where you're like, oh, this is why I do this.
I do, and it's a very broad answer, Zach, but I told you earlier, I got 1,503 kids in our district, and I try to know every one of their names. I write a personal handwritten birthday card.
Really?
I write a birthday card to every one of them.
I love that.
Every kid and every employee in my district gets a handwritten birthday card, and it goes back to, I have two sons of my own, and I try to, every single day, live a life and create an atmosphere where if my son was going through this, I would be happy with it, you know? When I was a young educator or coach, you talk to all the old-timers, and they've lived a life. They've lived their professional life, and I have reached that where I have had kids that I've lost. I've had players that I've lost to drug overdoses, mm-hmm. a few suicides, and car accidents. And at some point, star tests are important. That is important. But that's not what you're going to be held accountable for when your life is done.
Yeah.
And my goal every day, and I fail a lot, but when I wake up the next day, you got another chance to make sure I live the life and treat the people that I have influence of in a way that when I am held accountable, I can look up and say I did my best every day. And I don't know if that answers your question of a story, but my story is those kids. As soon as you said what's your story, I think of my last quarterback from my last head coaching job, and his name is Michael Dameron, and I still talk to him this day. And he is a success because of the people that we were able to put around him. And he might have gone ahead and been a success anyway, but there's a lot of kids that are not. And La Mesa, Texas is full of kids that if we don't put the right people around them, they're not going to be successful.
Yes. Got it.
And my job as superintendent is to make sure that I do that.
Yes. I love that. Yeah, you got to find, hopefully you have a big enough village that you can bring the right people.
Yes, sir.
And surround. And then, you know, again, it's not, it'll be coaches, it might be parents, it might be, heck, it might be a local church down on the corner or the you know, the YMCA or whatnot. Like, but finding that village.
We're all a team in raising these kids.
Yep.
And the future of public education, guys, it's in danger.
Yeah.
And we better recognize it.
Yeah, yep.
And if the superintendents and the educators are not willing to step up and save it, and the way you do that is you do the best you can by those kids every single day.
Yep, yep. I love this. All right, so last question for you. We like to ask a nostalgia sponsorship. So something from your past that you would say, if I could have this episode sponsored by XYZ, and let me tell you, this is probably one of my funnest questions to ask because we get We get the gamut. So for you, who's going to sponsor this episode? Or
I
what?
Have two.
What?
Can
what?
I have two?
You can have two. Totally have two.
And it's funny. As soon as you, I've never, ever had that question posed to me. But the second you said it, we were talking about coaching when you said it.
Yeah, yeah.
So my first one, and I want to say the brand was Hutch. If you'll remember the shorts, no, it was Bike. So my first sponsor is Bike. The Bike shorts that all the coaches used to wear in the 80s that had about six pockets on them and were the basic equivalent of Daisy Dukes because my dad wore them every day, Bike shorts and a whistle. So first off, Bike. And then the other one for me, selfishly, as a kid in the late 80s, early 90s, I want starter jackets to sponsor this bad boy because I loved me my starter jackets that I used to get to wear back in the day.
So
I want to be sponsored by that starter and Bike.
There we go.
Sir.
All right. I love that. That's great. Well, Mr. David Rich, thank you so much for
it was a pleasure, Zach. Thank you all for having me.
Yeah, this is a great, fun conversation. I think this is our this is wrapping up this episode here of Aubrey Insights, and I look forward to maybe bringing you back sometime, having
Absolutely.
A fun conversation.
Anytime. I love talking education. Anytime.
Cool. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.